A couple of thoughts for you this morning before we start the message. This year, Athena Christian Church is hosting the Citizen of the Bank. Citizen of the Bank. We're having the Citizen of the Year banquet at the bank. No, we're not. It's here. We're hosting it. Chamber of Commerce and Athena Christian Church working together to put that on. So we get to make the dinner and serve it. It's going to be a fun time. I really look forward to that. And on the back table over here, this card table, is a clipboard. We need some cooks, some people to set up and take down, and some people to clean up after the meal. If you would just sign up on that clipboard, let's make this a great time. Next week, I'll have a different sign up for desserts, for us to make some desserts and have some yummy things that taste good for that dinner. We're expecting about 100 people that come. February 18th, Monday, February 18th. Thank you. Winter camp. Coming up February 15th through the 18th. Is that President's Day weekend? 15th through the 18th, February. Some forms are on the back table. Registration forms. If girls, you want to go to winter camp, encourage you to do that. Everything you need to know about camp is on the form. If you have any other further questions, just ask me. Okay, in your bulletin are two pages. I'd like you to take those out. Two full-size pages. In one of the pages, you'll see an elder encourager. This year, the elders are providing a devotional thought to kick off each week. You'll have one of these each week in the month of January. And the first one, of course, is from Mike Sweet. And to give you encouragement in your prayer time or your prayer and fast, if you're fasting. The second one is your breakthrough habits, the sermon outline. It's on one side. On the other side, flip it over, you'll see the chart for each day of the week, some prayer points. Some sermon reading scriptures. Having to do with today's message, hate what is bad for you, love what is good for you. There's scriptures on each one of those. So it gives you something to pray through and read through each day of the week and some points to ponder at the bottom of each page. Okay, follow along in your sermon outline today as we begin our new series following our Christmas series of a breakthrough. Our Christmas series gave us some breakthrough principles or concepts, like breakthrough begins when excuses end, and breakthrough begins when we have the courage to ask God to change us, not just change our situation. Principles develop an attitude necessary for breakthrough. Everybody here got an attitude for breakthrough this year? Our new sermon series now gives us specific steps for breakthrough in four different areas, starting with new habits. New habits. Psalm 119, verses 4 through 7. Psalm 119, verses 4 through 7 says this. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and keep him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. This is the opening verses of the longest chapter in the Bible. Psalms 119 has 176 verses. If you take your Bible, close it, and open it up to the middle, you'll come about right there. You'll open it up into Psalms 119. The psalmist is giving us all kinds of wisdom, and these opening verses give us an idea of where he's going to go in this entire chapter. He gives us instruction on how to break away from habits that have held us for too long. Anybody got a habit you want to get rid of? But more than that, he gives detail on how to establish new, life-giving, Satan-stomping, and God-praising habits that put us in the position to take advantage of Satan. Have you ever thought about that? Did you know that you can take advantage of Satan? I think too often we think of how Satan wants to take advantage of us. And we're always on the defensive. What about this? In Christ, I'm on the offensive.
Why not?
Hallelujah. We're excited. We can be on the offensive with Satan. We don't have to be afraid of him. We can respect his abilities, but we don't have to be afraid of him. Take advantage. It's like the blind golfer who won a tournament against other blind golfers. And so he really got his confidence up. And so he went to a pro golfer and he said, listen, I want to challenge you to a golf game. And the pro golfer said, I don't want to play against you. I take advantage of your blindness. And the blind golfer, he insisted that he play against the pro golfer. And finally, the pro golfer, he finally relented and said, okay, I'll play against you. When do you want to play? And the blind golfer said, any night you want to. Got to think about that one for a minute. Take advantage. We can take advantage. New shoes. Anybody got new shoes on? I haven't even taken these out of the box yet. New shoes. ASICS brand. I wear ASICS. I like how they feel on my feet. But every time I put on a new pair of shoes, I never wear that pair all day long. Why? Because they hurt. They don't feel good at the beginning. But my old shoes are not good for my feet anymore. They wear out. They wear out. You know, the thing about the materials new shoes, or shoes are made out of nowadays is they don't look wore out. But your feet start telling you they are wore out. And you got to get new shoes. And new shoes then, you put them on for a couple hours maybe at a time and wear them for a week, doing that a few hours at a time, so you can break them in, because doing something that's good for you sometimes doesn't feel comfortable on the front end. But it is something healthy for you. New shoes. Discomfort is part of anything new that is good for us. Whether that discomfort is actual physical discomfort or an emotional discomfort, right? Yeah. I keep telling myself I'm going to get up in the morning, get on my weight machine, do some exercises like my doctor said, and then in the morning I say, I'll do it in the evening. You know how that goes, right? And I have done it some, but not as much as the doctor would like me to. Psalms 119, verse 12. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end, or your statutes, or your laws, if you will. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes, or to follow your laws forever to the end. That's out of the New American Standard Version. Let's unpack the details of what the psalmist is saying here. Detail number one is that habits that are good for you are permanent, not temporary. They're permanent, not temporary. If you say, I'm going to start this new thing, and it's going to be a new diet, for example. You know what, diets aren't, they never last. because it's called a diet, not a lifestyle. When you call it a diet, you're already planning to not do it later on down the road. But if you call it a lifestyle, this is how I'm going to live, this is how I am now living, then that's talking about permanency, not something temporary. Breakthrough habits do not begin when you change your behavior. They begin when you change your heart and your mind attitude about the new thing you want to do. The psalmist said, I will see this change to the end. In other words, he knew he must keep working to change, to work the change until the change was permanent. How long will that take? Anybody read the old saying, 30 days to make a new habit? Not for me. It might take 3 years to make a new habit that's permanent. What does that mean to me? That means that I really need to stick this thing through. Not for a month, not for 2 months, or 3 or 6. But to keep at it until it becomes part of me. It just becomes something I do. The bad habits I do without thinking. You know why? Because I've practiced them so much. You too? Second detail, we need to incline, not decline. The psalmist wrote, I have inclined my heart to obey your teaching. I have inclined, I'm inclining, I'm coming up, I'm raising up. Incline, I'm not declining. Incline, it's like we're saying get out of the chair. Psalmist wrote, I've inclined my heart to obey your teachings. He's saying that up to this point, he has not been inclined toward God. And he's recognizing that he needs to now incline himself to following God, to the attitude of following God. Inclining your heart means to choose fully to say yes to godly habits. Fully. Everybody say, yes, Lord. You just committed yourself to following God in a new way. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. If you're not going to make a change in how you live in 2019 that's different and new and good from 2018, just say this, no, Lord. I'm not going to. God wants you to be honest with him. Don't say yes if it's really a no. Don't say yes if you have some escape routes planned into your yes. It's a yes until or unless. If things got hard. No, don't do that. It's a full yes. Can you imagine the work Jesus did, the yes work Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane? When he was praying, Lord, if there be any other way, I need to know it now. Because I'm looking for a no. But not my will, your will be done. I think Jesus knew from the moment he came to this earth, and even before the plan of God, that it was going to cost him his life on the cross. He knew that. When it came to the very moment of saying, right after I say yes, the Roman soldiers are coming after me, and we're going to start this gig. 6 interrogations throughout the night, and the next day, crucified on the cross. This puppy's going to be painful. Yes, Lord. It had to be a full yes. So does yours. When it comes to making new habits that are good for you, yes, Lord, incline your heart to say yes. Our culture promotes not only a decline from healthy habits, but the desire and all the advertising that we see in our world is for you to recline from life. Lay down. Take it easy. I like looking at people's bumper stickers on their car. They're better there today. And some of the popular ones are about fishing. Having a bad day fishing is better than a good day at work. What kind? Now, Dan, you don't know what I'm going to say next. What kind of attitude is that? You know, that kind of lays the foundation to thinking that if it's hard, I don't want to do it. Being productive, if I can get out of it, I will. That's not conducive to inclining our hearts to God. Can the reclined life take you where you don't want to go? Yeah. To incline your heart to the new that God has for you is to make the 3-2-3 decision. It's the 3-2-3 decision. Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 says this: set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died. Did you hear it? You made a choice. When you said, yes, Jesus, I will follow you, you were baptized into him. You died in that moment. You said, my way, no more. That watery grave you were baptized in, that there's nothing special or secret about that water. It's just water. But you made a decision there that was a full yes. A full yes. Yes, Lord. You died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. I love that phrase. I'm not sure I understand at all in terms of how am I hidden in Christ. But it sounds like protection, doesn't it? From the enemy. Brothers and sisters, set your minds on things above in 2019 and the rest of your life. But it starts today with a full yes. Yes, Lord. A 3-2-3 decision. How do you know you've made the 3-2-3 decision? Let me maybe throw this at you to test that. I want you to read your Bible at least 3 verses every day in 2019. Okay, that's the assignment. Read at least 3 verses in your Bible every day in 2019. Don't miss a day. Was your first thought about, I don't know if I can get that done? Were you looking at the reasons why it's going to be hard to do that? Or were you looking at, whatever gets in the way, I'll get around in order to make that happen? See the difference between the two? If I start thinking about how it's going to be hard, I'm already in a downer. But if I say the 3-2-3, I'm setting my mind to this. I'm inclining my heart to be in God's Word every day. How long does it take to read 3 verses? Here's 2 verses right here we just read. It takes less than a minute for God to put His Word, His life-giving Word, His challenges, His encouragement to you into your heart. Less than a minute. Unfortunately, in our fast-paced world, a minute's a long time. I've done a test here before where we said we were quiet for 1 minute, and it felt like forever. A minute with God. We're challenging ourselves to 15 minutes a day. Well, if a minute's a long time, what's 15 like? Because the challenge is, I'm going to say yes, Lord, to the 15 minutes, and no to the rest of the world during that 15 minutes. The rest of the world has to wait. The rest of my schedule has to wait. My phone can't get my attention. I am giving God a full yes for 15 minutes. Does this sound elementary or highly advanced type of behavior? It's elementary. We're learning how to do this. Brothers and sisters, it tells us how much the world gets our attention. It tells us how we think other things are more important. I'll get to you later on, God. Just like me with my exercising. I'll get to it a little bit later. Let's incline our minds and our hearts to God. Let's do the 3-2-3 decision and look for tools and strategies to make it work rather than excuses and reasons why it won't. Third detail, incline, check, repeat. What's that mean? Well, it means to incline your heart to God. Say, yes, Lord, it's a full yes. Now, let's be prepared for this. You might need to give God a full yes 20 times in the day. Because the world is clamoring, demanding your attention. You say, full yes, I'm going to stop and do what I'm doing and give God my 10, 15 minutes in the Word, in some prayer. I'm going to take some time to write a jot a note of what God's telling me. I'm going to write down a prayer request. There's your 15 minutes. Incline your heart. Now check your heart. Check for position throughout the day. I find myself thinking about, I'm drifting towards something I know that I like, but is not good for me. Brothers and sisters, this is a new day. I love the devotions or the meditations we had this morning. They hit the nail right on the head. We're here because it's a new day. And God's mercies, which includes His power, are new when? Every morning. Mercies are new every morning. Wouldn't it be nice if you could make the incline decision just once? And be done with it. Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah. Remember Mr. Ronco? Remember that guy? Infomercials? Mr. Ronco with his rotisserie chicken cooker. And he must have sold millions of those on those infomercials. His motto was, just set it and forget it. You see, the advertising works. You got to remember that. Yeah, we remember commercial jingles from years ago. Just set it and forget it. Just say yes once and forget it. Well, that doesn't work in marriage, does it? I said yes when we got married, that's all I need. No, there's lots of yeses need to go on in marriage. And in friendships as well. And it's the same with our Lord. From this first Sunday in January 2019 to the last Sunday in December 2019, you and I need to repeatedly incline our hearts to live out God's instructions. Why? Paul said in Romans that Christ's death over sin broke sin's power to control you. You are no longer controlled. In other words, Christ's death gave you the decision. You could say yes or no to sin. Before Christ's death, before you accepted Him, I think we only had one decision. Follow sin. But after Christ, we have two decisions. Follow Christ, follow sin. The power of sin to control you has been broken. That's what Christ did on the cross. The power of sin to tempt you, unfortunately, is still here. That's why we need to keep saying yes. Your spiritual heart has a default setting to decline. It wants to go back. And we have to keep saying yes and incline our hearts to God repeatedly. And then check the position of your heart. What are you thinking about? Where are you tempted to go? Do you know that most of our sin that we do, we've thought about ahead of time? We've premeditated it, we've nurtured it, we've massaged it until we finally give in to it. Check your heart. Check your mind. What are you thinking about? If we wrote down what we thought about all day long, would you want to show it to anybody? Incline, check, repeat throughout 2019. So let's embrace a truth that can make 2019 a banner year for you. Before we accept Christ, our hearts are inclined towards sin and declined away from God. Paul explains that in Romans 5. But Christ's death and resurrection made it possible for our hearts now to incline towards God and decline away from sin. While building a new habit, you will be tempted to decline back to the old habit. Why? The influence of sin in this world is always pulling at you. It's always pulling at you. The world is demanding that you hate what can save you. And we see that in our culture happening more and more. To hate what can save you, to love what can destroy you. Why don't you love that which can save you? Why do we do that? Well, simply this. You haven't practiced the good long enough yet to learn to love it. I know a guy who said, I had to exercise for 3 years before I decided I loved it and what it was doing for me. 3 years. That's inclining toward exercise. That's inclining my heart. That's incline, check, and repeat every morning for this guy. Have you ever started an exercise program? Bought a membership at the gym? How long did you use it? Most of us have exercise equipment in our home that makes a pretty good closet. We hang things on them. We must incline our heart to obey God's word to the end, as the psalmist said. Think about something you love to eat, but you know is bad for you. Now think about a food that truly nourishes your body. Now imagine replacing what you love to eat with what is good for you. How many of you love Brussels sprouts? Oh, we have some. Wow. Very good. Broccoli. Wow. Broccoli farmers are loving you. Cauliflower. Man, oh man, you guys are awesome. Candy. Okay. After making the 3-2-3 decision, incline, check, and repeat. Say that with me. Incline, check, repeat. That's what we have to do. Make a list with three columns to help you focus on what needs to be purged from your life and allow you to more consistently incline your heart towards God. So the first part of the list is a bad habit. What is something you want to get rid of? The second column is, what does this bad habit do for me that I keep going back to it? We don't do things that we don't like. What does it do for me? It's doing something for me that I keep doing it. And then the third column is, list what it does to me. What does that bad habit do to me? As we start thinking this kind of stuff through, Christians, we need to be thinkers. Think that through, then you can start with the opposite of the new habit, what it does for me, what it does to me. And as we do that, we start finding this is possible. This is good. I have a whole new reason to incline my heart to God in 2019. It's a love-hate relationship. It's kind of complicated, really, starting new habits, starting new good things. We love what our habits are doing for us in the moment, but we hate what they're doing to us in the long run. The more you practice what is bad for you, the more your heart is trained to decline away from God. The more you practice God's ways, the more your heart is trained to incline towards God. We live in a world of love and hate. God loves and hates. Did you know that? God loves. He's not just a God of love. He also is a God of hate. That might surprise you, but God even lists seven things. Solomon listed them in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. God loves. He loves you, his church. He loves widows and orphans. He loves the oppressed, those treated unjustly, those who don't know him yet. He loves. God loves. And then there are things that God hates. Solomon lists seven of them. He says, arrogant eyes, a lying tongue, shedding of innocent blood or murder, wicked schemes, planning how to get back at somebody, feet that rush to do evil. In other words, there's no interest in resisting evil. False witness, lying about someone. We see that in the courtroom. False witness, causing dissension or disunity within the body of Christ. These are things God hates. Bottom line is this: if you want to love what is good, you must learn to hate what God hates. Proverbs 8:13, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I have to admit, I haven't always hated evil. I have liked what evil has done for me. I don't like what it does to me. In 2019, Dilbert has to reevaluate, going to do this list. What is it doing for me that I keep going back to it? What is it doing to me in my relationship with God, others, and myself? I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Proverbs 8:13. God hates this stuff. We need to learn to hate what God hates so that we can then love what God loves. If there's not a distinction between love and hate, if I can't clearly define those things, I might slip into loving things God hates. Know what God hates, what God loves. So, our habit, perhaps for you, is daily Bible reading. Incline, check, repeat. Will keep you engaged to the new habit long enough that you will learn to hate what is bad for you, leaving your Bible on the shelf. And love what is good for you, feasting on God's Word daily. Isn't that good? Everybody say yes. It is good. It is good. Choose what is good for you. Hate what is bad for you. Incline your heart toward God to follow His ways. Let it be a full yes. Check daily what your heart is leaning towards and reset your heart when it's leaning the wrong way. Repeat that step often. In 3 months, whatever you choose to start today, as a new habit in 2019, in 3 months, I guarantee you, you will begin feeling the benefits and the effects of that new habit. And you'll begin to love what it's doing for you and to you. You'll start to love it, and you'll start having a hate for what's not good for you. Let's respond to God. Want a different outcome this year? Make the 3-2-3 decision. And then incline your heart to God, check your heart where it's leaning, and repeat over and over again, God is good. Are you looking for holiness today? Righteousness? Are you looking for some brokenness? God, I need to be broken in an area so that you can come in and fill me fully where I've not let you in before. God is here for you. This is awesome. Breakthrough. He's given it to you. Everything you need, Peter says, for life and godliness, he's given us. No excuses. If you're here today and you need a new something, a new way. Maybe you need a new Jesus, because your old Jesus isn't working. Whatever you've called Jesus, if it isn't the Son of God, it won't work. Jesus is here for you. I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing this next song and respond to God. You can respond by coming up here. We'll have a prayer together. You can respond. There'll be some guys in the back, the elders will be in the back there. If you want to have a prayer back there. Brothers and sisters, 2019, it's new. New habits. Incline, check, repeat. Say it with me one more time. Incline, check, repeat. Amen. Let's sing.